And we welcome you to another exciting edition of Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast on Tuesday, July 29th. That means we are 2 days away from the non-waiver trade deadline, and today we'll tell you who you must stash right now prior to that trade deadline. Adam Azer and Al Melchior, and good morning.
Good morning, and very good enunciation there on must stash.
Slowed it down. Don't want to confuse people.
Yep.
Make them think this is a facial hair podcast. We'll take some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line. We're going to talk about players who just aren't hitting any home runs this year. Evan Longoria, Michael Morse has one home run in his last 43 games. We know Robinson Cano, Alex Rios, Rosario, etc. Josh Harrison stuff, Jake Odorizzi, Homer Bailey, Vance Worley, and this email. Ready?
I am. Well, you know what? I'm not ready.
Oh, why?
Well, this is why.
The vacuum?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say in a vacuum.
No, but last night we had Hoover and Dyson both pitching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Hoover sucked.
Yeah, he did. He lost the game.
Dyson did not.
Okay. Well, I guess that answers all your vacuuming questions.
I think so.
So then, ready now for this email?
No, I'm ready.
It's from Adam. It's our email of the day. He says, "Dear Molding, Andrew Dice, and Cassius."
That would be Clay's.
That would be all Clay's.
And I think I know where he's going with this.
Buchholz is awful. Please stop saying Clay Buchholz should be owned. Agree or disagree?
I'm going to disagree, but not strongly, as you can probably tell by my tone here.
Yeah. 66% owned. Gave up 7 runs in 5 innings with 4 walks last night against Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, he's been bad many more times than good since coming back from the DL. And it's at least fair to say he's inconsistent. But when I was working on Fantasy First Pitch for this week, and Buchholz has, this is the first of his 2 starts, and so I put him as the last, I think it was the last pitcher on the borderline list. And I didn't say avoid him entirely, because when you look at the full body of work, he was pitching with pretty good control. And then what does he do in this game? He can't throw strikes and he walks 4 guys. So I'm not ready to go all the way and say just avoid Buchholz every week all the time, dead to me, that sort of thing.
But would drop him for like Ruby De La Rosa.
But I would. Yeah,
Kevin Gausman, all these.
He's droppable. He should be started right now. But I just wouldn't say drop him for just anybody. And I wouldn't say don't entertain the idea of picking him up again if you do drop him in a couple weeks if he puts together a couple good starts.
Would you rather have Brandon McCarthy or Clay Buchholz?
I'd rather have Buchholz. I mean, again, right now, I'd rather start McCarthy. But rest of season, I expect the Buchholz will be better than McCarthy.
Would you rather have Vance Worley?
Than either of them. By a lot, and that's even thinking that Vance Worley might not have a starting job after this week.
But you'll take the shot?
I'll take the shot because he's been good.
But he doesn't strike anyone out, Al.
He doesn't, but you know that's more concerned to us fantasy owners than to the Pirates. Because he's, you know, it's kind of like saying, well, the Marlins should, you know, put Henderson Alvarez in the bullpen because he doesn't strike anybody yet. I mean, there's similar appeal there.
I'm not arguing about him losing his rotation spot. I'm arguing about picking him up. I'm presenting the counter to picking him up in fantasy. Just, you know, Worley's 26% owned, complete game shutout at San Francisco, 4 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. And he's got a 2.54 ERA and 7 starts. And 1 relief appearance, and 30 strikeouts and 49 and 2/3. So I was just saying, you know, that hurts his fantasy value.
Yeah, and I don't think he has the same value as Alvarez, who's a terrific ground ball pitcher and probably has even better control than Worley does, but that's saying quite a lot. But Worley does have excellent control, and he has shown a knack his first couple years with the Phillies and again this season for fooling batters on pitches in the strike zone and getting them not to swing.
Yeah, and in 2011, he was 11-3 with a 3.01 ERA. He has struggled since, but Vance Worley looking good right now, and as I mentioned, 26% on. So Al says, go pick him up! Ruby De La Rosa or Vance Worley?
Ruby.
Got Ruby and Stroman tonight. Also have
That's a rematch, right, from last week?
From a week ago. Also have an interesting Daily League note for you. Al,
mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to find it. Steven Strasburg. There it is. 1-6 on the road this year with a 5.09 ERA. And he had a 4.50 ERA on the road last year. So that's interesting. But in his career against the Marlins.
I knew this was going to come up.
At the Marlins. At Marlins Park. 2-3 with an 8.61 ERA.
Yeah, he's bad there.
Start or sit?
You have to start him.
Oh, do I?
Well, no, actually, you're free to do what you want.
Okay, good.
But I think that you should start Steven Strasburg.
Pretty interesting stuff. How about pre-trade deadline stashes? I'm a little scatterbrained today. We're going from section to section. But we talked about this on the video show
yesterday.
I'm just
going to roll with that.
Yeah, just let's go with it. We talked about this on the video show yesterday. Pre-trade deadline stashes. So I picked up Jock Peterson in 2 5 outfielder roto leagues. Maybe I'll drop him on August 1st, but I think there's a good chance the Dodgers move an outfielder. Who are some guys you'd be looking at right now or have already picked up in advance of the trade deadline?
Yeah, by the way, really wish I had considered that. That's a great move, picking
Sucker.
Up Peterson. one that comes to mind is Brandon Workman, who's out of the rotation now, but I think he'll get his chance. But right now, of course, it's Alan Webster holding down the fifth spot. So that's somebody I'd target, Brandon Workman. And Ken Giles, we've talked about.
Yeah.
I think he's a good one. And I'll be honest. Yeah, I said I'd go with the flow here, but I wasn't really prepared for this question.
Well, I was. So nobody on the Astros, because they reportedly are keeping Chad Qualls.
I mean, I think it, like the Diamondbacks are selling, but I don't think they've got anybody up and coming that I'm really... I mean, you could say maybe Archie Bradley, but I'm not expecting much from Bradley this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that Houston Street's been dealt, it doesn't look like Benoit is going to be dealt, but maybe.
All right, here's
Bear, Quackenbush.
Yeah, all right, and while we're going down that road and talking Diamondbacks, Reed rumored to be on the block now, so Brad Ziegler could be one.
What about Marlins bullpen?
Yeah, I have made the move there, so thank you for reminding me. Brian Morris.
You're going Morris?
I'm going Morris. I think you could flip a coin between Morris and Ramos, but I just have a hunch it would be Morris. Actually, I have a stronger hunch that Cishek stays.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about these rumors that the Marlins are pursuing Malone and Miley.
Yeah, they're going for it. So
I mean,
about that?
And look, you know, even as a Marlins fan, it seems silly in a way. I hope they don't. If they do continue to pursue one of those two, it makes sense because they're both controllable for several years.
Yeah, no, that'll be good long
term. But I hope they don't give up, you know, a piece that's too valuable for them, because they've got no shot this year.
Yeah, a great win yesterday. Holy cow,
that was a great win yesterday.
Down 6-0 against the Nats.
But fantasy wise, boy, that would be a great move for either of those pitchers.
Yes, that'd be really good. We already know what Malone can do in pitcher's park, so. And Miley obviously been really good away from home. Okay, so let's do some standouts from yesterday. I just wanted to bring up Josh Harrison because we asked John Heyman about Harrison. Ooh, how about those initials there? John Heyman, Josh Harrison?
Never thought about that
Maybe
before.
That's why Heyman liked him yesterday.
No,
who would be your AM that you'd support in Major League Baseball?
Let's see. Well, first name that came to mind is Andrew Miller. Not too excited there. another
yeah,
thing.
Well, it's better than my Alexi Amarista. Actually, it's not. I think I'll go with my Alexi Amarista over your. Oh no, Arizmendi Alcantara. I'm all about.
There you go.
The Initials Club.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, Josh Harrison. We asked Heyman about Harrison and whether or not he'll be a mainstay in the Pirates lineup when everyone's healthy, which just shockingly never happens. Something always comes up. And he seemed to think, he didn't say, yeah, he's going to be in there every day. But he said, yeah, he's going to be a big factor, basically. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. A big factor in terms of playing time. So, I don't know, maybe he comes at the expense of Polanco when Marte comes back, which could be late this week.
Totally conceivable to me.
Or maybe it comes at his own expense. Maybe Harrison doesn't stay in the lineup, but he had another good game. Now, this is two good games in a row. He homered yesterday at 4 hits Sunday at Colorado. Homered yesterday at home. But was kind of slumping a little bit, not really hitting for much power in July. before Sunday. Overall, though, every time he slumps, he comes back, does something good, and Harrison's hitting .298 with 7 home runs, 13 steals, 66% owned. So still, I feel like still people aren't really buying into him. But if you do think he's going to play every day, I think he needs to be owned just about universally. What do you think?
Well, Scott has said this a lot, and I've agreed with it, that while Harrison's pretty good in his own right, everybody he's competing with playing time for, I think, is superior to him. But I don't know. I'm getting less and less worried about that because Polanco's slumping, and granted, there haven't been many times when Clint Hurdle has had to really make the difficult choices because somebody's been out. But I just think at worst, maybe it's just a situation where everybody loses a start or two per week, and that's not great news, but I mean, it's better than Harrison just kind of playing his way into sort of an insignificant utility role. I think he's better than that.
And obviously, we're not including McCutcheon. He's not going to lose starts. Also, I said Harrison homered at home. He homered at San Francisco yesterday. All right, so keep an eye on that. He's 66% owned. I remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I looked at him and said, no, I'm not going to pick him up because I think it was Walker at the time was on the DL.
Yep.
I was like, Walker will be back or just came back, and he's not going to have every day at bats. And that turned out to be a stupid move. Hey, Al, I have a question for you. Where did Homer Bailey put his strikeouts? Last 3 starts, 5 walks, 9 Ks in 9 innings pitched. What's going on here? And only 111 and 135 and a third.
I don't know. All I know is that when I took a look at Bailey, I guess it was late last week, actually had written a little blog post about him because I feel like he's been sort of unfairly maligned. I want to say it was 13 starts. I don't remember the exact number. But if you go back much further, the strikeouts are there. So I'm saying he just temporarily misplaced them.
Okay.
And he will find them with his keys and the little koozie or something that he lost. And he's going to find them all.
Yeah, and the 3 teams he faced, they strike out a lot. The Cubs for sure, and then Cincinnati and Milwaukee are basically middle of the pack. But it's interesting. It's been one thing or another for Bailey, but I don't think you're going to argue with 8 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts against Arizona.
Well, and if you do argue with that, you're going to lose.
Yeah. Jake Odorizzi, do you think he is must-start every week? You know, he's had this really good stretch of basically 10 starts now, and 7 of them have come at home, where his ERA is about 3 runs lower than it is on the road. And in those 3 road starts for Odorizzi, Al, he's allowed a combined 6 earned runs in those 3 starts, but didn't pitch 6 innings in any of them. So, he's been helped by a lot of home games recently, and he only gave 3 hits yesterday, had a great start. By the way, you called Chris Davis with a K a start at Tampa Bay. He came so close to homering. He hit a ball foul that had the distance, and then later in that same at bat, he flew out like to the wall. So you were almost there.
Sometimes, it's inches between a good call and a bad call.
So it was 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, 5 strikeouts against Milwaukee. What do you think about Odorizzi, 84% owned?
I think that's a good ownership rate. I do think he's fairly close to must own, but strangely not that close to must start. He's fantastic at home. I would trust him just as much in other pitchers' parks. But there are going to be weeks where you're going to want to avoid him.
Yep, maybe like Boston, Toronto, and the Yankee Stadium.
Like that, yeah.
and Camden Yards. So he's just pitched a lot of home games. So, all right then. Who stood out to you? Anyone else that we need to talk about?
Besides people with vacuum namesakes? Well, let's talk about somebody who actually made no impact yesterday at all. Billy Burns.
Yes.
They did make his first major league appearance.
He's a burner.
He is a burner. Billy, he's much like Stephen Drew and Tyler Flowers in that his name is a sentence, and the sentence that could be true. I mean, I don't know that Flowers has really flowered yet.
No, and I haven't seen anything
I'm sure
artistic
Stephen,
from Stephen.
I'm sure Stephen Drew at some point.
At some point, yeah, I'm sure he did.
But Billy does burn.
Oakland placed Craig Gentry on the DL and called up Billy Burns, who has 51 steals and 56 attempts in 91 games. At Double A. He's coming up straight from Double A.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you had concerns about Billy Hamilton making that transition, you rightfully would have more about Billy Burns. But he's going to fill Gentry's role, so he'll platoon. It sounds like he'll start against lefties and probably do a whole lot of pinch running. And I think right now he's a must-own in AL-only leagues and in some deeper mixed leagues, probably worth a flyer just for the steals.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go as far as to drop Eric Young for him, but Young never plays.
No.
I mean, that could change, just like with a snap of a finger for Terry Collins.
Right.
But if you're, like, frustrated because Eric Young isn't giving you steals and James Jones has been cold, and all you need is steals, maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all you're going to get, right?
Oh, I think so, yeah. He didn't have tremendous numbers otherwise at AA prior to that hit for average. And you could see that with his speed because he's a decent contact guy. But, yeah, pretty much just count on the steals.
All right, Billy Burns. Jason Hayward, day-to-day with lower back soreness. Ryan Domit replaced him yesterday, and Jordan Schaefer was already starting for B.J. Upton. So Schaefer, Domit could be in the mix if Hayward's out. San Diego manager Bud Black said Jesse Hahn has 5 to 10 starts left.
That's quite the range.
Yeah, it is, and I think you have to hang on to him, ride it out.
Yeah, I mean,
ten starts would be that's almost the whole season.
Exactly. So I saw that and really made nothing of it. It's sort of a meaningless statement because, like I said, it could mean he's shut down and 4 weeks, or he could pitch almost the whole rest of the year.
Adam Lynn close to returning. Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Laurie a little further away, especially Laurie. Mark Teixeira plans on returning today. Jason Wirth day-to-day with an ankle injury. Brandon Belt passed a concussion test and could be back this weekend. Cubs relief pitcher Kyuji Fujikawa could return soon. Do you think there's any chance he could get save opportunities as Fujikawa recovers from Tommy John surgery?
I mean, maybe very late in the year. I wouldn't count on Fujikawa for anything that's going to really help you in fantasy this year because he's going to most likely be eased back into pitching and, you know, pitching in a higher leverage situation. I haven't heard anything about Rondon going anywhere.
Is there any doubt, speaking of save opportunities, any doubt that Jake McGee is now the closer for the Rays?
No doubt. That said, in our categories league, where I've just been completely shut out of saves for weeks on end, I did pick up Boxberger a couple weeks ago because I think it'll be a situation where Joe Maddon's going to get funky and want to play some weird matchups and pitch McGee in the eighth or the seventh or, you know. So he's the closer, but I think there's going to be times where you're going to wonder why he's not in a save opportunity, and Boxberger or Peralta or somebody else will be.
You know, I own Jake McGee in that categories league.
Really?
You can have him. He's my fourth closer. I'm just hoarding at this point.
You're closer hoarder?
Yeah.
That's a good show, by the way, Closer Hoarders.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that's because it's made up.
Could be on what, HGTV. Who knows? When Brandon Morrow returns from the DL, he'll likely pitch in the bullpen for Toronto. Brett Gardner homered twice off Yu Darvish, and he homered off him last week, too. So that's three times in a week, Al. And he's got 12 home runs.
I think four times in his career,
yeah,
if I remember the note correctly.
Yeah, almost all of his hits against Darvish are homers.
Yeah. By the way, I'm a little skeptical of the Morrow thing. I'm sure he'll start out in relief, but given the innings issues that they've got there and the current lack of alternatives, it wouldn't surprise me to see Morrow make some starts in September.
Good. Maybe I can argue with you guys about Brandon Morrow again. I feel like we did that a lot at the beginning of the year.
We did. I look forward to that.
Jason Lane made his first major league start for the Padres. 6 innings, 1 hit, or 1 run on 6 hits, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Is that it? One game audition?
I think one and done, because Ian Kennedy, unless he gets traded, then, you know, there's no room for Lane in the rotation. But that was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, sure was. Aaron Hill expected back tonight. How about Billy Hamilton, Jay Bruce, and Todd Frazier batting 1, 2, and 3 in the Reds' order against Arizona? They went 0 for 16 with 10 strikeouts in a 15-inning game. Ew.
Yeah, really annoying.
Jay Bruce owners are frustrated. Chicago, the Cubs, they traded Darwin Barney to the Dodgers for a player to be named later. What do you think? Late-inning defensive substitution?
Yeah, I mean, you'll occasionally spell Hanley, you know, or if Hanley goes down. Probably a lot of playing time there, and, you know, occasionally maybe spell D. Gordon. But, again, you know, never really had a whole lot of fantasy value. He's a good defender.
And just more, you know, more re- well, he was DFA'd by the Cubs, but they like Alcantara. Kansas City traded Danny Valencia to Toronto for pitcher Liam Hendricks and catcher Eric Kratz. Any value here?
I mean, not huge, but I think Valencia may actually have a better chance for playing time in Toronto, where Juan Francisco seems to be falling out of favor and Kawasaki's been playing some third, but Valencia maybe gets a little bit more playing time there, and certainly it's a great ballpark for him.
And then when Laurie comes back, Valencia can play second base. So we'll see. He's good against lefties. Derek Jeter, 3 hits last night. He's now 7th all-time, passing Carl Yastrzemski. 3,420 hits for Jeter. 10 hits behind number 6 on the all-time hit list, Honus Wagner. John Heyman reports Alfonso Soriano leading towards sitting out this year and making a comeback in 2015. And this two things that really surprised me. Chris Johnson leads the majors with a .433 batting average against lefties. The other thing that surprised me, he's only had 67 at-bats against lefties.
Yeah, that is surprising.
And he's had, like, I looked up, I just said, all right, I'll pick another third baseman. So I looked up Evan Longoria. Longoria has, like, 10 more at-bats than Chris Johnson this year. Mm-hmm. And he has, like, 45 more against lefties. I don't know if the Braves just never face lefty.
That is very weird. I mean, maybe they get Peña over there once in a while just to give him some playing time.
Yeah, maybe, but who? All right, the Marlins have basically had a righty-heavy rotation, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
The Mets, mostly righties. Nice.
Right, there's Nice.
We got G, DeGrom, Cologne.
Okay, so Wheeler.
Wheeler, righties.
Yeah, so.
The Phillies haven't had Lee for much of the season. They have Hamels, obviously. And they have, I don't want to keep doing the rotation game.
Right.
A lot of righties in the.
But maybe there's something to that.
There's Burnett, obviously. There's Hernandez. You know the rotations. A lot of righties.
Right. And then which team did we just.
Kyle Kendrick. That's it. We did the Phillies, the Marlins, the Mets. Oh, the Nationals. They have
so, yeah,
Gio.
Strauss, Gio. Okay, you got Gio.
And that's it, right?
Yep. Yeah, Roark and Pfister. Right. So, yeah, just Gio. Maybe you just figured it out.
How about that? Lineup stuff. Corey Dickerson sat again for a lefty with Blackman, Cargo, and Barnes in the outfield. That's so rude. Stupid. Josh Rutledge sat for Charlie Culberson, and Scooter Jeanette returned to the lineup and batted 7th with Ricky Weeks DHing at Tampa Bay and batting 5th, and they went 0-for-6 with 4 strikeouts. But Jeanette, you know, he's been a two-hitter for his really good stretch, so hopefully he gets back in that 2 spot very soon. Al, this next section is called This Has Gone On Long Enough, and we're looking at power hitters who aren't hitting for power. And let's start with Michael Morse. He's 84% owned. He is basically the number 45 outfielder in fantasy. And he's been a guy who can hit 290 to 300, slug 500. First 59 games of the year, he hit 13 home runs. Next 43, he's hit 1 with 6 RBI in 43 games. That's pathetic. So can we drop Michael Morse? Just sit him? What do you do?
I'm sitting him because there is too much power potential here, I think, to do that. But I agree, this has gone on long enough. That's a long power slump, and I don't have a good explanation for it. I know when we talked last week, I just made the comment that when he has slumped in the past power-wise, there's been the health issue. But yeah, there's no report of that whatsoever, so it really could just be just a really bad slump.
Robinson Cano, 31 years old, career high line drive rate, 31%. Career high ground ball to fly ball ratio, 1.14 grounders per fly ball. 4.7 home runs per fly ball, career low rate there.
That's very low.
Yeah, very low. This guy's got 5 straight seasons, Robinson Cano, with 25 home runs or more. Last year, he homered more on the road than he did at home with the Yankees, including 3 home runs at Cleveland, 3 at Minnesota, 1 at Seattle in 4 games. All but one of his home runs last year would have gone out of Safeco. There is no logical explanation except for 2 things that I can think of. 1, lineup protection. But the Yankees lineup wasn't that good last year. They were very injured. And 2, and remember before the All-Star break, I said this was a guy that I felt really solid about him hitting home runs the rest of the year. Then I found out about this lingering hamstring injury that he's been dealing with all season. maybe that has something to do with it. So Cano is the number six second baseman in fantasy. He's batting .328, but only seven home runs.
Yeah. The hamstring theory, I think, is kind of interesting and possibly related or unrelated to that. Maybe he has made some sort of adjustment because you mentioned the high line drive rate and more ground balls, and could be an adjustment made maybe to compensate for the injury, or maybe he made an adjustment to compensate for leaving Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
and it's all they're all just theories, but it has gone on long enough and to a large enough extent that you have to wonder if he has made some sort of change to his approach.
So now how many home runs would you expect from Cano rest of season? We got what, eight weeks left?
Yeah. I'll still go with eight. He had the four in June. So, you know, a month removed from that, he's capable of it. I mean, and another theory that we didn't entertain is it's just one of those years. It just happens sometimes where guys there's a range of possibilities for every player. And sometimes players just hit the floor and they hit it for a whole year or for 4 months out of the year. But I'll give Cano a chance to hit eight rest of season.
I'm looking at a game log from last year. This is June 25th. Yankees Rangers. I mean, you want to play the lineup protection card. This is who was hitting behind Robinson Cano last year. Can you even guess? It was their DH and their first baseman and their left fielder. Oh, my gosh. Travis Hafner batted cleanup behind Cano. Lyle Overbay batted fifth. Zoilo Almonte, who actually started last night for the Yankees, batted sixth. Jason Nix, David Adams, Chris Stewart. So, I mean, look, that wasn't the lineup the whole year, but that was basically the lineup last year. They had this guy, that guy, and a bunch of garbage players often hitting behind Robinson Cano. So the lineup protection thing I don't totally buy.
I don't buy it at all. That's an excellent point.
Evan Longoria, Al, slugging under .400. He's the number nine third baseman in points, number seven in Roto League. .722 OPS, by far the lowest of his career. This is a guy, Longoria, who has never slugged below .495, and he's 100 points about 100 points lower than that right now. He's got 30 home run power. He has 12 so far this season. And look, in 2012, he had only 22 home runs, but he batted .294, this year .256, and 46 doubles and five triples. So the doubles and triples aren't there this year either. What's going on with Longo?
Well, I don't really know what's behind it, but if you just take a look at his heat map and you know where his happy zone is and his unhappy zone, he's not driving pitches that are down in the zone in the way that he used to. So he used to really be able to hit for power, covering a large part of the zone, and that's really he's doing okay on the pitches that are up in the zone, but I'm not sure, I'm not exactly sure why that would be the case.
Concerned?
Yeah, because to borrow your catchphrase here, this has gone on long enough. For a month, you maybe say it's a fluky thing and he adjusts, but I mean, this has been the whole year pretty much.
Are you more concerned about Evan Longoria or David Wright, who is also in this little section? And David Wright is batting .190 with no extra base hits since the All-Star break. And this year, he's slugging .396.
I got to say, I'm more concerned about Wright because the slump seems deeper, and Longoria, I don't really understand where this comes from, because going like back in March, I remember people complaining that they didn't trust Longoria because he was inconsistent, at least in terms of power. I understand the batting averages bopped around, but in terms of power, I don't know that there have been players much more consistent than Longoria going into this year. And you can't say that about David Wright at all.
Right. But Wright has been.
Yeah, Wright.
No, but Wright has been fairly consistent with the, at least last couple of years. 2012, he had a 492 slugging percentage. 2013, 514. So I think Scott's pointed this out. His one bad power year was the first year at Citi Field where the fences were
before they moved him in
crazy far.
Yeah.
But I think he's been a fairly consistent hitter, and he's just been way off this year. And look, he had a cortisone injection in his shoulder, I believe. So obviously he's not 100%. It is concerning. Are Wright or Longoria benchable in your mind?
I would say so. Yeah.
I mean, like, would you be starting Josh Harrison over them? I honestly think I would start Josh Harrison over David Wright.
I was going to say, I wouldn't do that for Longoria, but yeah, I think I'm at a point where I would do that for David Wright.
All right, Alex Rios, Al, 4 home runs this year. And despite a .301 batting average, he is number 32 outfielder in points leagues, number 28 in Roto. He's not crushing your team, but he's certainly not delivering draft day value. Rios has 16 steals and 25 attempts and only 4 home runs. So you wonder, is he getting old? 33 years old. Last year he stole 42 bases and hit 18 home runs. 25 home runs and 23 steals in 2012. Is this just one of those bad years for Rios, or is this the end of the line and is he no longer a power hitter?
It's so hard to know that. And right now I'm thinking of Jimmy Rollins, who I wrote off before this year. It seems a little premature to write Rios off for good. And at the same time, it's hard to come up with another explanation other than age-related decline as to what's happened this year with Rios.
The fact that he's still hitting .301, though,
yeah,
doesn't that say something about his skills?
Yeah, that he's still a pretty good contact hitter who can use his speed. And the stolen base total is in some ways more disappointing to me than the lack of power, because the power numbers have really been up and down. But I really thought he'd be much more of a stolen base threat this year. If for no other reason that Ron Washington just seems to be pretty aggressive in that regard. But, Rios has been, you know, more like the stolen base threat that he's been for most of his career, not quite as high-end as last year.
Looking at the ratios for Rios, strikeout rate, just comparing it to last year when he had 18 home runs. Maybe he's not a 25-homer guy. Maybe we hope for 18. This is not going to happen this year, but I'm just saying. Comparing him to last year, 15.2 strikeout rate last year, 18.2 this year. Same walk rate. The ground ball to flyout ratio is almost identical. The line drive ratio is almost identical, 28% last year, 29% this year. Home run to fly ball rate down from 7.8% to 2.5%.
Minuscule.
Yeah. Is that the kind of thing that's fluky, or the kind of thing that he's... we got to go to baseball heat maps, see how far he's hitting his fly balls.
Yeah.
He also has no lineup protection this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would like to go to baseball heat maps and check that out.
All right, check it out.
And probably should have done that weeks ago.
Let's move on to Willian Rosario. Willian Rosario has 9 home runs this year. He is the number 17 catcher in points leagues, number 20 in Roto. Actually, I might have switched that. I think he's number 20 in points and number 20 in points, number 17 in Roto, I believe. Last year, he was number 8 in points, number 2 in Roto. He does have a career high, Willian Rosario, with 17, or a career high pace with 17 doubles, but hitting more ground balls than fly balls for the first time in his career, and does have a career low strikeout rate. That's good. But Rosario, is he going to get to 20 home runs? He's got 9.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's capable of it, but this power outage is just completely puzzling to me.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, you can't talk about age with him.
He's playing a little less.
Yeah.
Now, last year, Rosario had the 10th most at-bats at the position. This year, he has the 15th most at-bats at the position.
Which is sort of funny, because back in the offseason, the Rockies were talking about playing him more, not playing him less, but I've probably the performance has changed those plans. And by the way, Alex Rios last year averaged just shy of 269 feet per fly ball.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's gone all the way down to 268.
He's the same player.
He's the same player.
with a few more strikeouts, but like the ratios are so similar, it doesn't really make any sense for him to not be hitting more home runs.
Yeah.
Why would that fly ball to home run?
Oh,
home
and actually I'm sorry, rounding error on my part, actually rounds up to 269 in both seasons.
Man, and for him to be to have a 2.5 home run to fly ball ratio. So can we look at all this data and say, buy low on Alex Rios?
If you can, really buy low, and maybe you really can. The owner's probably pretty frustrated at this point. And I don't think I'm not saying that I'm buying a power resurgence or a stolen base resurgence from him, But you might get good value based on what you'd have to give up for him.
Would you trade Jason Hayward for Alex Rios?
That's a good one. Nah, I don't think I would.
Would you rather have George Springer or Alex Rios?
Yeah, I'd rather have Springer.
Really?
Yeah.
Chris Davis or Alex Rios?
If you're talking about with a K, yeah. I would rather have Alex Rios.
Okay. And one more guy here. This has gone on long enough, Al. Bryce Harper. 3 home runs in 44 games, of course, with a long DL stint mixed in there. Sims coming off the DL. He's batting .220 with 2 home runs. So at least the power has been all right, but .220 batting average, not so good. Power really hasn't been all right. It's just 2 home runs in about a month. Last year, .274, .368, .486, which were slight improvements from his first full season, 2012. But he hasn't taken that next step this year. And what's going on? His ground ball rate lower than it was last year, but K rate way up for Bryce Harper.
Yeah. And, you know, if I tell you that I know what he's going to do rest of season, I am lying.
Well, we don't want you to lie, Al.
All I know is he's got, you know, the incredible ceiling that we saw flashes of last year. But, you know, these are the two reasons why I didn't wind up with Harper in any leagues this year. Because of the health issues and him spending, you know, time on the DL. And because, you know, as such a young player, I mean, everybody projects and looks, you know, oh, look what he did as a 20-year-old. But usually the path to stardom is not a linear one. And there are seasons that are like this. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I wouldn't make any, you know, trade any investment on the assumption that Bryce Harper is going to be anything more than what he's already been.
I think I want to talk about this more in a separate podcast, but I think Mike Trout spoiled people and made them think about prospects and young players, hitters, more positively than maybe we should. I kind of want to go through the call-ups over the last few years, and I think what I'm going to do is be kind of more bullish on pitching call-ups or prospects on draft day, and less so on hitters. Because it's so rare, I think, that a hitter just, like, carries your team, like Mike Trout. Okay, Springer's been good, right? He's been good.
He has pretty much met expectations.
Yeah, but he hasn't been amazing. And he hasn't met expectations because the knee injury has sapped him of
right.
the steals.
That's fair.
If he had been stealing bases, it'd be one thing. Will Myers was solid last year, right? Like, definitely was worth investing on draft day. But then there's John Singleton, he's been terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, so guys get called up.
Well, there's Will Myers this year before he got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like the odds of them like being a top 5 outfielder or first baseman, whatever, just because Trout did it doesn't mean that they're all going to do it. Like Bryce Harper himself that same year was fine when he got called up. It wasn't great.
And let's talk about Singleton because I did not expect him to be anything close to a top 5 first baseman. What I thought was, here's somebody who's going to put up Mark Teixeira numbers without the DL stints.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been even close. You know, and so when we were doing rankings, when he first got called up, and I was putting Singleton ahead of Teixeira, and I thought it was a no-brainer to do that. And I would much rather have Teixeira now.
Well, when I said, geez, okay, Harper was .270 with 22 home runs and 59 RBIs in 2012. That's pretty good. I thought he had come up the year before, though.
Harper, you said?
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was Trout who had a little cup of coffee in 2011, right?
Right.
All right. So Harper was really good with those season-long stats. All right. Anyway. What I was saying, when I said top five, obviously I didn't mean like you ranked Singleton top five, but if you get these guys, these call-ups, you at least want them to have the potential to go on this crazy tear and carry your team. It just doesn't really happen with the hitters. The pitchers, I feel like they can come in and have more success, maybe because nobody's familiar with them.
I think that's more typical. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, last year, it took Zach Wheeler a little while, but he had a good finish. Garrett Cole was very good down the stretch.
Waka.
Wow, yeah. Waka was really good. So those guys, I feel like they can
Sonny
come
Gray.
Up. Yeah, maybe we got spoiled last year with those guys. So I want to take a closer look at it over the last few seasons and see what the midseason call-ups have done. But I think they might be a little overrated. And September call-ups are overrated for sure. They just don't get that much playing time. So when these guys get called up in a couple months, don't go crazy over them.
You know, it depends on the context. I think I agree. In general, they get overhyped and overrated. But they can be impact guys that help you down the stretch.
Let's go three up. Chris Carter, last 28 days, number three first baseman in points, number one in Roto, and he homered again. And he's batting .307 in July with eight home runs, Al. Chris Carter, 57% owned.
Yep, and it won't last. And you know, maybe we're a little too negative. And I feel like I could be fair and say we.
I wouldn't pick him up ever.
And I was including Scott in that, too. But the batting average, for sure, you can't count on. You can't count on anything close to .300 for as much as Carter strikes out. And I don't think you can count on the power. He certainly has the potential, but he's streaky with power.
Would you rather have Singleton or Carter?
Right now, I've flipped, and I would rather have Carter.
Yeah, well, I guess that would be a scenario where I might pick him up. Steven Vogt, 2-for-5 with a home run at Houston. 10 hits and 4 doubles in his last 6 games. Vogt's batting .361. Started playing regularly on June 1st, and since then he's a top 5 catcher. You buying this?
I'm still not buying the batting average, which is a ridiculous thing for me to say anyways, because nobody's buying .361, I think, from Vogt. But I'm not even really buying .300, and it doesn't matter, because for somebody who's catcher eligible, multi-positional, and has power, it that's fine. I'm all in as far as owning him and starting him.
Vogt or Darnell?
That's a good one. I think I actually that's really tough. I think I would go with Darnell.
All right. Melky Cabrera is three up, number three. He hit 2 home runs and drove in 5 at Boston yesterday. And since the All-Star break, Cabrera is batting .432 with a .479 on base and a .795 slugging percentage. 3 home runs, 7 doubles since the All-Star break. And on the season, solid year. .313, 14 homers, 58 RBIs, 67 runs. That's a lot. 5 steals, great walk-to-strikeout ratio. Number 6 outfielder in points, number 11 in Roto. What do you have to say about Melky or Cabrera? Melky or Cabrera.
I get it.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me. Didn't see this coming at all. I don't really see him as that kind of that caliber of outfielder rest of season. Top 30, sure. Top 25. That's about where I max out with my namesake.
I just want to look up very quickly where he ranks in runs scored, because I am sure that is helpful for him. That was 3 up. There's nobody down. So we'll go to the rotation in just a sec. But here are your...
Very positive today.
Leaders in runs. Who do you think's leading baseball in runs? I'm going to guess Altuve.
That's a good guess, yeah.
We're both wrong. Altuve is not even in the... Oh, wait. Is this... Yeah.
Got to be up there.
He's not even in the top 10.
That is nuts.
That's weird. Okay. Leading baseball in runs would be Anthony Rendon, followed by Paul Goldschmidt, Hunter Pence, Mike Trout, Brian Dozier, Tulowitzki, Rizzo, Donaldson, Brantley. Those 9, I think, are all between 74 and 70 runs scored.
If we were playing Fantasy Feud, I would have whiffed so badly on that. probably would have gotten Tulo and Trout, and that's about it.
I think Cabrera is like 12th. Yeah, wow. Where the heck is...
Josh Donaldson, huh?
Altuve.
I mean, that's such a great lineup. I guess I shouldn't be too shocked.
That's so weird. So Jose Altuve is the league leader in batting average at .343, and he scored only 56 runs.
56, that's it.
Yeah, whereas Tulowitzki is second in batting average at .340, and he scored 71 runs.
I mean, a better, much better lineup.
And Altuve has 119 more at-bats than Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah, but how many plate appearances?
Yeah, that doesn't
Tula
say.
Walks and Altuve doesn't walk that much.
119 minus 27.
So that's the advantage that Tulo has?
Yeah, 82 or whatever.
That's pretty stunning to me. But would explain a lot about why Altuve doesn't.
Sorry for my horrible math there.
Rank higher.
whatever it is, 80 to 90 more at-bats or plate appearances. Okay, we've taken a detour. To the rotation. Madison Bumgarner struggled again. Concerned?
No, not really. He's had bad months before, just entire months where he's not that good. But, you know, he's Madison Bumgarner.
Irvin Santana, 8 innings, 5 hits, no runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts. And he's having a big year. Lowest home run rate in his career, 0.6 per 9. Second best strikeout to walk ratio. 3.30 ERA and a 6-4 record in his last 11 starts. On the year, he's 10-6 with a 3.63. So anyway, I feel like that 10-6, 3.63, he's better than that.
I so agree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I feel like I've been saying this a lot the last couple weeks, but I haven't quite figured out why Santana isn't better.
Well, remember he was horrible for like a month.
Oh no, no,
in the year.
I get that. Yeah.
So let's look at that. Those last 11 starts, 6-4 with a 3.30 ERA. How does that sound to you? With 20 walks and 64 strikeouts and 73 2/3.
Yeah, it seems like it should be better than that.
Yeah.
His swinging strike rate on the year is somewhere around 13%. I don't know what it is after this start. And keep in mind, too, his next start is also against the Padres. But going into the weekend, might have shifted a little bit. Going into the weekend, he was fourth in the major leagues in whiff rate on pitches outside the strike zone. Now, the top eight were basically like the eight elite pitchers in baseball, or, you know, maybe, you know, eight of the top 12 or so. It was, you know, guys like Tanaka, Darvish, I think Strasburg was in there.
Felix
was one. And he was right there amongst those other seven pitchers. And I
like him.
So you figure, okay, he's getting batters to swing and miss on the pitches that they'd be least likely to do that. And he's an elite in terms of that skill, and everybody else who is elite or near elite in that skill is an elite pitcher. And yet his strikeout rate is very average. Whether you looked at the last how many starts? I mean, it was 11?
Yeah, it was
last
11, 11 starts, and it was 64 strikeouts and 73
and that's
two-thirds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very, you know, Hyunjin Ryu.
Which is excellent, of course.
It's good. It's very good, but not at the level you would think. And the ERA, 3.30, is very good. But you would think that, especially given that he's not giving up home runs, why isn't it under 3?
All right, let's look at home runs. Why is he having the best home run season of his career, Irvin Santana? And that's something that's plagued him. I'm looking at the top 10 teams in home runs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many do you think are from the National League in the top 10?
3?
2.
2.
Colorado is 3rd. Milwaukee is 6th. So I think there's something to that.
And neither one's in the East.
Neither one's in the East, exactly. In fact, the highest NL East team in terms of home runs, 15th, would be Atlanta. So I think it'd be Washington at like 17th. Eesh. Atlanta, Washington, Philadelphia, and Miami are all back-to-back-to-back-to-back in the home run leaderboard.
Interesting.
R.A. Dickey has having a nice month, Al. 3-3 with a 3.07 ERA, 9 walks, 38 strikeouts, and 3 home runs allowed in 41 innings in July. That's good stuff right there. 84% owned, 60% started for Dickey.
Yeah, it is, and I haven't really gotten too excited about it because I feel like there's been a couple of false starts already this season. And just going back over the last couple of years, Dickey's just been very inconsistent. He's been very, very good for extended stretches,
yeah,
but not beyond that.
Jesse Chavez struggled against the Astros. Gave up 3 home runs on the road here. He's 89% owned. Is he over-owned, Jesse Chavez?
Yeah, I think he is. And I'm sure some of that is his points league appeal. You can use him in an RP slot. But he's not even really that high up in terms of sparps that I, you know, would use more than every once in a great while. So I did think he was a good start against the Astros, and that didn't really prove to be true.
So you'd rather have Drew Smyly than Jesse Chavez?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, and Chavez is owned in a lot more leagues, or he was at last check, than Smyly.
By the way, just real quick, I got that top 8 for the whiff rate out of the strike zone. Check this out. Garrett Richards, Tyson Ross, Clayton Kershaw, Santana, Corey Kluber, Felix, Yu Darvish, Tanaka.
Wow.
That's some good company there. That's Fangraphs, by the way.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, fringy starting pitchers, give me your top three. Burnett, Cologne, Buchholz, Eovaldi, Phelps, Worley, Chase Anderson.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. All right, sorry. all right. I'm going Worley, Burnett. You said top three?
Yep.
So I got to pick one more. Yeah, I will go Buchholz.
Worley, Burnett, Buchholz?
Yeah.
Any concerns about Rafael Soriano?
Some. Yeah, I mean, the results have been very, very good this year. But just doesn't seem to have elite stuff for a closer, and I've been sort of waiting for it to catch up with him.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I feel like I've felt that he hasn't had elite stuff for a closer for a while.
Yeah.
When he took over for Rivera, that would be two
2012?
Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012. I was like, how is he doing this? And then I thought, he might be a bust last year, so I didn't take him. And then I thought this year, you guys both had him as a bust, right?
I'm pretty sure I did, yeah.
And he's still doing it. Now, in July, Soriano's given up 10 hits and 4 walks and 8 and a third. Got hit around yesterday with 3 hits and 1 walk and a third of an inning and 4 runs. But overall, the numbers still look good. He's got a 1.96 ERA and a strikeout per inning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's droppable or anything, but I think he's somebody you do watch. And the Nationals have options. You know, they got Clipper, they got Storen. If this goes on for a while, I mean, we're only talking about one appearance right now, but, you know, if this is the beginning of something bad, it's time to start looking for a replacement.
Do you have any interest in Adeni Echevarria or Tsuyoshi Wada in deep leagues?
I will tell you how little interest I have in Adeni Echevarria in deep leagues. In our categories league, which is pretty deep, I lost Tulo to DL. And I think Echevarria was the top ranked in terms of year-to-date in value, roto value. And I went ahead and took the flyer on Marwin Gonzalez over Echevarria because I thought at least there's a little tiny bit more ceiling there with Gonzalez.
I heard something interesting about Echevarria on a Marlins broadcast recently. The Marlins broadcasters were saying that they talked to a scout, and the scout said he likes Echevarria because every time he sees him, he gets better. And he's only 25 years old. So I could see him being roto-relevant, like a deep, you know, middle infield relevant shortstop next year. You think it's possible?
It's possible. I wouldn't say it's likely. I will agree with that. He's improved a lot since last year. But I'm still not sure how much he's going to give you other than batting average. He has, I think, 7 steals, but I think he's also been thrown out 5 times.
Okay.
So that's not a good harbinger.
And Wada?
Yeah, Wada, I've definitely got some. In fact, I do own him in our categories league.
Oh, okay.
I think I started him this week, too.
Hey, good for you.
Yay.
Chris asks, as we go to emails here, and we have about 2 minutes left, so rapid fire. Which of these players will finish highest in points rest of season, top two in a points league? Plouffe, Moustakas, Josh Harrison, Uribe, Valbuena, LeMahieu.
Harrison and Plouffe.
In that order?
Yes.
Mike from New Jersey. 12-team head-to-head categories league. I have Jesse Chavez on my bench. I'm looking to drop him for someone on the waiver wire, like Stroman, Odorizzi, Leak, or McCarthy.
Stroman.
Or should I wait until after the trade deadline?
Stroman.
Yeah, it's Stroman. How are all those guys available in a 12-team head-to-head categories league? Brian from New Jersey. I have James Paxton. My other starting pitchers are Quintana, Roark, Odorizzi, Han, Latos, Archer, Kazmir, Ruby De La Rosa, and Jimmy Nelson. Who, if anyone, should I drop for Paxton, or should I drop Chris Coughlin or Jerrod Dyson?
You should not drop any of these starting pitchers for Paxton, but I do think you should drop Coughlin.
Mark from Mattawan, New Jersey. I recently reached out to a player in our 14-team league who I noticed had benched Irvin Santana. I inquired about King Felix, and he answered me by saying, yeah, I gave up playing a while ago, and send me whatever trade, and I'll accept. Even with that statement, I had to match up the money, and I came up with Mike Minor and Gene Segura for Felix Hernandez. While this isn't collusion by any means, was I wrong for taking this deal, which then went on to be vetoed by the league the same day? How could the commission safeguard against people not playing and still allowing for fair trades to take place between the top teams and the bottom teams trying to make a late push at the playoffs?
I mean, I think that is how.
Yeah, you veto that.
You veto that trade. Yeah, exactly.
It's not a keeper league, so if this guy's not playing, you are not allowed to make trades. And the commissioner needs to be aware of that. If somebody makes a trade, you got to make sure both teams have been active, because that is completely unfair. That trade isn't that lopsided. Miner and Segura for it. Okay, it is, because Miner's been bad.
Well, and Segura hasn't Segura's lived up. Yeah,
yeah. Like, that trade 2 months ago wouldn't have been that bad. It's horrible now. But yeah,
I'll agree with all that. And by the way, this is reminding me of a league that I've been in where there were owners that just totally checked out, and the commission basically encouraged people when that happened, encouraged them to leave the league, even mid-season.
Look, I got no problem with you checking out to a degree. I think you should still set your lineup. But
yeah, I mean, if you're not doing that,
set your lineup.
The commissioner really should. It's a pain in the butt and it's no fun, but I mean, you know, I don't think it's out of line for commissioners to talk to that person, you know, suggest to them that they leave the league.
Yeah, I don't think that you have to be, like, active on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
But you should set your lineup.
Yeah, set your lineup. As long as you're setting your lineup, yeah.
Thanks, everybody. We're done today. Back noon Eastern time with Fantasy Baseball Today. And tomorrow it'll be Alan Herc. Scott White out all week on vacation.
Where is he today?
That's for the video show, Al.
Okay.
Sorry. Yesterday I said he was backpacking through Europe. There will be a new adventure for Scott White every day. Have a good one, everybody. See you later.